She's like, you're on the spectrum of like how many people you interact with.
Yes, yes. And I literally go weeks without talking to people, right?
Wow.
So my husband travels all the time. So I travel too.
Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to the August 2nd meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. We got near a full house, and I'd like to start off with just a couple things to say about the changes we have here. First of all, I'd like to introduce Nikki.
Klepfer.
This young lady replaced Tammy, and Tammy's moved in to being the executive assistant to the director, Kelly. So we're a benefit for both of their talents. So welcome, Nikki. Secondly, I'd like to introduce two new commissioners. We have Molly Linville here, and Jim Anderson here. And I started off really quickly with them. I put them both on the Wolf Committee, and they haven't talked to me since. So, but I think they're good additions. They got a lot. I know Jim from way back, and they're very talented people. And we're welcoming their help and leadership and knowledge. So thank you, Kim.
Yes. So as we heard, Tammy is. Moving on, Tammy's been with the commission since 2011, and she's been everything to the commission, and while I heard that you didn't want any recognition, we did want to give you something to hang in your new office.
Okay.
So, we've got this for you here. You want to open it?
Once you get it out, I'll explain. Is it a portrait of Larry Carpenter?
Or oh, thanks.
No, it's you.
Justin Howe's photograph. He's a staff person in the department who does this wonderful photography. A lot of it is our east side wildlife areas. When I contacted Justin, I said I wanted West Side Elk Habitat.
Perfect.
So that's it's not where you hunt, I think. It's Baker Lake. But I'm sure you recognize the habitat.
There's going to be some chanterelles in this picture. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Your time.
A lady of short, not many words, but thank you.
Thanks for all you have done. I look forward to working with the other pieces.
Yeah, I will. And I want to continue on to recognize that we have had a member recently depart the commission, and generally speaking, when one of our colleagues moves on, we have something for them as well. And a number of us have been in touch with Jay Holtzmiller, who is his last meeting was our last meeting last month. And we've been reaching out, and Jay, we want to recognize your 6 years with the commission, and the pleasure it was to work with you. And he has flat out said no. I haven't talked to him, but I had a very nice message on my phone saying, you know what I want? I want you guys to be my friends. And I want to be able to call you and talk to you every once in a while. And Jay, definitely. I love talking to Jay on the phone. Now, there again, Jay, you can call me anytime you want. So, and with that, I think my colleagues who've worked with Jay also want to recognize him in absence, because he wouldn't come.
Thank you, Kim. Jay, we really appreciated your work ethic, your comments, your passion, and we're going to miss you, but you are our friend and plan on staying in touch. But based on what Kim was saying, I was just speaking earlier this morning with new Commissioner Lindville about something that that might work for Jay. And she and I have an idea, so Jay, stand by. You're going to have to go home and get this soon. You want to start on that?
Mr. Chairman, I just like to recognize all the good work that Jay has done as a commissioner. I sure learned a lot from Jay. He's a very savvy guy.
Can't hear. Microphone not on. Okay. Yeah, Jay was an excellent commissioner. I learned a lot from Jay Holzmiller. He tried to come across as just a cowboy from the east side, but everybody knew how savvy he was on these issues, and he knew a lot of things. I just really appreciated everything that Jay brought to the table and all that he did as a commissioner, and I will be calling him as a friend.
I really appreciated Jay's perspective on so many issues, and he related so well with the farmers and ranchers in the region that he served, and really identified the problems. And I know that people found Jay very relatable and had just great relationships with the people over there. And not many people realize the amount of time and work that goes into a position like this. And he was always... Jay was a busy guy. He has a full-time job and a rancher and a forester and a cattleman. And he managed to juggle all of those things. And I really appreciated the time and effort he put in and what he brought to represent the people of his region.
I didn't or have not met Jay, but just yesterday we've arranged for a call early next week so I can find out his perspectives, and I'm looking forward to that.
Bob?
I wonder if he's listening now.
Oh, yeah.
So Jay and I came on the commission around the same time, and, you know, so we were the new guys, and just trying to figure out what this whole thing was about and how we fit in. And Commissioner McIsaac and I were talking about him this morning, actually, at breakfast. And he tried to come across as this, you know, kind of dumb cowboy. But as Don said, he's very street savvy, very smart. And I also like Jay, too. He was unvarnished. What you saw is what you got, and he didn't hold any punches. He said what he thought, wasn't worried about being politically correct or not, and just truly and he was truly passionate, or is not was is truly passionate about fish and wildlife and his community in Assotin. And we got to be good, really good friends. You would think I'm kind of a city slicker from Seattle, and he was a rancher, but we developed a good, very good close relationship, and I look forward to continuing that into the future. So thanks, Jay. Hope you're listening.
Molly, do you have some comments? You know him well, don't you?
I do. Jay is a personal friend of mine, and it could have been awkward, me taking his position, because we have the same colleagues. And so I immediately called him to reach out to him, and he has been more gracious than I can say. And I know you guys probably don't read this, but in the Eastern Washington Press, he has, said that you know, he supports my seat at the table, and that, and you know, those are things he doesn't need to say, and I just appreciate him so much for that, and that he's making me come into this position so much easier than it could have been for our colleagues in the East. So I really appreciate that. I love Jay.
Thank you. Amy?
Well, Jay Holzmiller was a good mentor to me as somebody who worked with cattlemen up in Skagit around the elk issue. He gave me insights. He was smart, street savvy. If you can be a street savvy cattleman, I'm not sure. Maybe that's grass savvy. I'm not sure what the right term is. But he gave me good advice, and I came to rely on him, and I'm going to miss him on the commission, and I count him as a friend.
So I'd also like to express a thank you to Jay. He certainly helped round out my education in working with the commission. I like that unvarnished approach. I never spent a millisecond wondering where Jay was on an issue, especially after hours. But there again, he can call me anytime he wants. No matter, no shape, matter, nor form will stop him from calling me.
Well, Jay, I know you're listening. You probably can tell we love you. Go get a cup of coffee. We'll talk later. Thank you all. We now, I think we've already done most of this, but commissioner comments. Any commissioners at the table have any comments?
Oh, I do.
Commissioner Thorburn.
I sat in on the exit conference of our state auditor, who did an accountability audit of the department. These are done regularly. It's a routine procedure. It's part of government transparency and accountability to our public. I worked in government for my career as well, and went through many of these as an agency head. And it always amuses me when I hear people say government should just run like business, because I always think, you know, what business has all of its finances published in the newspaper regularly, especially if you end up with a finding? The accountability audits look at the state spending by an agency, which is a portion of our budget, and they pick out very high-risk areas to do the audit. We did have a finding. This will be published. The department is aware of this and actually has already taken the corrective action to fix it. What impressed me as I sat through the audit and listened to the areas that were audited is how much risk we face in spending the people's money in this department, and how really, really careful and thoughtful the department is in approaching that, and the kind of responsibility that we take in ensuring that we are accountable to our public in spending the people's money on our mission of protecting and preserving fish and wildlife. This was a really good exercise. As I said, it's quite routine. I think of auditors that they never do their job without finding something. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. And the fact that we do have a finding, but it's already fixed, I think speaks to how seriously this department takes its responsibility to our public. So it was a good experience, and I would recommend to my fellow commissioners, if you have the opportunity, I just phoned in, and it was very useful to sit in on this.
Commissioner Graybill.
I just wanted to report that in early July, I traveled to Kettle Falls area of Lake Roosevelt to participate in the Northern Pike suppression effort that's being conducted by the Colville Tribe, the Kalispell Tribe, the Spokane Tribe, Chelan County PUD, and the department. And many of you may be aware that there's northern pike, who are voracious predators, have entered Lake Roosevelt, and the fear is that they're migrating down through the Columbia River system, and the presence of a fierce apex predator is rather frightening for our anadromous fish and other species in the Columbia River. I know that Commissioner Thornburn joined the effort in May, and I was eager to participate in it in July. I spent the day on the Spokane Tribe's boat. We retrieved gill nets, and we actually got 9 northern pike that day from the that area of Lake Roosevelt. I also, and then I was able to share that with my readers and listeners, and one of the things, too, that the Colville Tribe's doing is they have a rewards program, and they will pay anglers $10 per pike head that's turned in to various drop-off locations throughout the reservoir. And so, actually, sport anglers 2 years ago turned in 1,000 northern pike at those drop-off locations. Last year was 600. And we should encourage sport anglers to do what they can in this suppression effort. And actually, they make a little money while they're doing it. So it was a very interesting experience. I appreciate the effort that's being done by multiple agencies to try to keep those numbers down on the Columbia River.
Thank you. Anyone else? I think I was remiss in getting started, so I'd like to back up for just a second and allow our two new commissioners, perhaps they'd like to say something to the commission, the balance of us in the audience. Molly, would you like to say anything about your background and it? And then Jim, if you would.
I'm Molly Linville, and I'm Washington born and raised. I came from a wheat and barley farm over in Lincoln County, Reardon, if anybody knows where all 500 people in Reardon are. And so, which it's still in my family. And I went on to the University of Montana and I got a degree in wildlife biology and was a wildlife biologist. I've spent 15 years as a biologist. Part of that time I was also a rancher at the same time. But most of that was with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in their Mid-Columbia River Refuge Complex. And then I also managed Conboy Lake National Wildlife Refuge at the base of Mount Adams. If you have not been to Conboy Lake, that is a lovely day trip. It's a beautiful country, and it's still pretty unspoiled, so that's nice. In 2012, well, between 2011 and 2012, my father-in-law got sick and passed away very quickly. He had always said he was not leaving us his 6,000-acre cattle ranch, but we, lo and behold, he did. So overnight, my husband and I had to decide whether we were going to become cattle ranchers or not. And I said yes, and my husband said no. So he still works off the ranch, and I run the ranch. And I've been, for the last 3 years, I've also been on the State's Wolf Advisory Group, which has been probably the most rewarding experience and most, like, bashing my head against a brick wall experience all at the same time. But I think it's really prepared me for the role on the commission, and I value that experience so much. And so I'm here, and I'm a hard worker. I tend to be a workhorse. I'm not good on the telephone, I'll warn all of you now. but if there's a job to be done, you can consider it done if I say I'm going to do it. And I just find this to be, I feel a lot of responsibility in this role. This is a big deal, and I really feel that. And I'm here, and I'm ready to work.
Welcome aboard. Thank you. Jim Anderson.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the opportunity to be on the Fish and Wildlife Commission. I really appreciate this. It's a challenge. It'll be a real challenge for me. I think I'm prepared. I've got a long experience in natural resources. I have an education that was complimentary after spending 35 years working in natural resources. And having retired for about 10, I'm charged up and ready to be of service to the state. I've had a long history of service in different ways. I want to bring that to this body and to this effort. I want to know people. I want to get out and meet people in their place. I really, as much as I want to meet everybody in the room today, I really want to meet you where you live. And so I'm looking for opportunities to do that. My background is I was the executive director with the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission for 20 years. I stepped down from that in 2005 and did part-time work with them for intergovernmental relations for 5 years when I retired in 2010. Before then, I worked for the Macaw tribe and the Muckleshoot tribe, so my entire professional career was with the tribes. And I imagine that there are people who wonder how a person who is associated with the Indian tribes could be at this table. And I am pledging to you that I am an honest person, that I am going to do my very best to understand the issues and to work them with the commission and with the department and with you. That I know that I'm on a state entity. I also know that you are shaped by all your experiences. So I'm coming into this situation with a rather unique set of circumstances, but I think it will be of value as I move forward and as we move forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim, and welcome aboard. We'll move on now to meeting minute approval, and we have the minutes from our July 19th, 2019 conference call.
I move to approve the July 19th teleconference minutes of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. We are now down to committee reports. To the best of my knowledge, there's been no committee meetings. The Fish Committee will be meeting today. In
the Policy Review Committee.
Oh yeah. Okay. The Fish Committee will be meeting next door in the next room at 11:30, from 11:30 till I think 2 or thereabouts. So,
and the Wolf Committee will be in the Director's Conference Room. So if public wants to attend the Wolf Committee meeting, you'll have to get assistance with access up. So let one of us know. We've got ability to get up there with you. So let us know at the break or something if you want to attend the meeting.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief report of the Joint State Columbia River Fishery Policy Review Committee. There was a successful meeting yesterday in Salem. The three Washington PRC members, Commissioner Kehoe and Commissioner Graybill and myself, were in attendance, as well as Commissioner Thorburn and new Commissioner Anderson. On the Oregon side, they had six commissioners in attendance. Five of their seven, including the two that had been on the PRC meeting before, and Chair Finley, who was sitting in for Oregon Commissioner Weber, who has since gone. And in addition, they had three of their new commissioners there. So a total of six, five of which are sitting commission members. The staff just did an excellent job, as they usually do, in getting the materials out in advance, which provided for a very efficient meeting and allowed us to get snaggled up in the Portland traffic on the way back for about 4 hours. So, but we did make it here last night. The marquee agenda item yesterday was an excellent background material display. There was four PowerPoints that refreshed all the memories of the current PRC members and provided some excellent background material for those that hadn't been at the committee level before. There was a modicum of progress towards the charge of the Policy Review Committee, and that included evaluating 10 different options for upriver spring Chinook season stability and considering a prioritization of those for further intensive analysis. Of the 10 that were on the table, we now have three that are moving forward for more intensive analysis, and the other seven were deprioritized for reasons that will be displayed in writing as part of the minutes of the meeting yesterday. We also adopted a schedule for progress that moves toward November, with a meeting on, as I recall, August 29th, October 1st, and November 18th, hoping for a recommendation from this committee at that November meeting that would then be forwarded to the full commission's consideration. The Oregon Commission meets on December 6th, as I recall, and then we have our December meeting in Bellingham. And, of course, the hope there is that there'll be a recommendation for 2020 and beyond that would serve the charge of the committee. So, again, let me say thanks to the staff for all the excellent work they did to enable that meeting yesterday and offer an opportunity for the other commissioners that were in attendance if they'd like to add anything.
Yeah, I would just...
Mr. Thorburn?
I'd like to add. Sort of back up a little bit and talk about the purpose of this committee. The Columbia River fisheries are mind-bogglingly complicated. They are managed by both states. And what is important in that management is to really work toward concurrency of our rules so that, that we don't have an Oregon side fishery and a Washington side fishery, and it's really complicated stuff. There are, of course, treaty tribes involved as well, and legal requirements from the courts. We have endangered populations of fish. It's very complex management. So this is a really important effort to be working jointly with the commissions. What I really want to just inform people is that there's a lot of documents that are coming out of this. The PowerPoints yesterday were very instructive on this complex issue, and there is a website dedicated to this work. So those of you who are interested in this complex issue, we are trying to be as transparent as possible and getting the information out and before the public.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Don, are you finished? Okay. Any follow-up and questions? Okay. Seeing none, thank you. That concludes our committee reports for the day. We're now going to move